a blessing. I'll tell you what. I told Brother Prophet if I'd have been called on to preach after that, I'd have just abstained. Said, no, don't need anything after that. Amen. And then I'm glad he's letting me preach first. Because I tell you, he's got some preachers going to preach here that he's getting the teenage department out of the way. appreciate that. And I enjoyed that. Boy, that's great last night. Thank the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's hard sleep last night. I know what that boy in prayer meeting was saying there last night. You getting a good meeting like that, you re-preaching. And you re-preaching. In fact, I probably did some jumping around last night in my sleep. More than likely, Brother Ted back there probably tell you that, but it was a joy, and I thank God for it. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, we'll try to be aware of the time. I want to hear these other fellas more than I do me. I do wish that what he said, that I could be that. You know, I like that statement of John the Baptist where he said he was the voice. I think a voice probably is that which you hear and don't see. And it'd be kind of good if we could kind of get in the background and they not see us, but they hear his voice. And if we ever hear the voice of God, it'll do something for us. I believe that with all my heart and soul. The book of Exodus, if you'll stand with me, the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we want to read a couple of passages from Exodus. And if you'll find the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6, we'll turn there and read a few passages also. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance for to thee and for thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass. Now notice these verses. It shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of Israel, children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now, if you'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I won't read all of this. I'll just skip a few verses here. Verse number 4. And these very familiar verses. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Verse number 20, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you, then thou shalt say unto them, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Now, I want to take those two phrases there, when thy son asketh thee. And I want to preach on when your children start asking questions. Boy, I hope we got something to tell them. I believe if we're saved, we got something to tell them. God wanted the children of Israel to know what God had done for them. I want to preach on that just a little while this morning. Father, bless the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these great songs. I'd pray, oh Lord, this morning that the Holy Spirit of God would meet with us. Lord, your presence has been here already. We pray you just continue now what was going on last night and continue throughout this day and tonight. And Lord, may the glory of God be manifested in this place. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll let you be seated there. The Lord was interested in Israel giving testimony to what he had done on behalf of the children of Israel. And all the way through the book of Deuteronomy and Exodus, and I didn't cover, there's probably 10 places in there that he said, when your children grow up and start asking you, why are we doing this? Why are we putting blood? Why are we observing these ordinances and these feast days? Why are we doing these? He said that you may know what to tell your children when they start asking these questions. Now, when you look at this text, and you look at Israel, and I believe this is a background for it, that man is by nature a rebel in his heart. He's rebellious against God. In fact, if you've studied Moses, and I won't go into all those verses, but you see, he's constantly having to be reminded of what God has done and what God is doing. You preachers, for instance, and I'm a preacher, we never get through preaching against sin, because about the time we think that we've got it nailed down, somebody's doing it again. You never get through preaching the grace of God. Because when you have preached all you know about the grace of God, there come along some more grace, and you'll have to preach about some more grace. You never exhaust the glory of God. About the time you think you got God figured out, he does something that was not in your equation. And so God says, I tell you, I want you to tell your children. I tell them what God's done. I tell them about the testimonies of God. I tell them about the commandments of God. I tell your children in days to come when they are in the land. You know, it's amazing how many times he said, and it shall come to pass. He's pointing to that day when they enter into the promised land. And Moses knew what he was talking about. I read there where Moses said that in his 40 years, Brother Arthur preached so eloquently about that last night, in his 40 years, he said Israel had rebelled 10 times against God. Isn't that amazing? A man of that stature, that they rebelled 10 times against his authority and against his word. And if you don't mind, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I want to show you what Moses had warned Israel about. Chapter 31 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 24. This is Moses speaking now. It said it came to pass, verse 24, chapter 31. It came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take the book, this book of the law, and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now notice verse 27. For I know thy rebellion. Moses knew what people does. We preachers know what people do. I know what people are capable of doing. I know what I'm capable of doing. You know, there's none of us above sin. There's none of us above rebellion. He said, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. And he said, gather all unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. Now notice verse 29, for I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. And you know what? That came to pass, that prophecy came to pass just as surely as Moses spoke it. Because the book of Judges said the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the mighty works of God. And then he went on down and he said, and that generation, there arose another generation that knew not the works of God, nor had seen his miracles, nor heard his words. And said, when they arose, that they rebelled against God and went into idolatry. And so Moses said, I want you to tell your children, when days come and they start asking questions. I remember the first time my daughter asked me who was God. And I said, well, honey, that's a simple answer. He's God. That's about as deep as I could go on it. And then she backed it up with another, well, where is God? And I said, well, he is where he's always been. He's from everlasting to everlasting. When you go way back yonder before the first dawn of sunlight, and you go back into nothingness, he was back there. And when you get over here to the end of time and you go out yonder into infinity, that's where he is. And then he's in between all of that. He covers all of it. Oh, I tell you, those were questions. You know, I'm glad she had enough faith to believe that. There's some things you just got to believe by faith in God. I'll tell you, you know, I've had lots of, my children ask me lots of questions since then. Well, why do we observe the Lord's Supper? Well, why do you put people in the waters of baptism? Well, why do we have to go to church all the time? I'm glad that I've got some reasons. Amen. Now, let me preach just a little while here. There's three or four points I want to cover here that concerns Israel. And I believe as they concern Israel, they apply to me. Because I think, you know, if you notice the text that I've read many, many times, it mentions them coming out of Egypt and their bondage and how they were slaves and how they were down there for 400 years. And so I believe Moses is saying something like this to you people gather around here. When your children rise up and they start asking you about your time of bondage, what are you going to tell them? Amen. Now, why was that important? So many times you can't even number them in the Bible, how God said, I brought you up out of Egyptian bondage. I brought you out of oppression. I brought you out from underneath the slavery. I brought you out from underneath the bondage. And so when they start asking you about that bondage, what are you going to tell them? Hey, amen. Now I'm going to tell my children that I was an old sinner. A slave to sin. Amen. I'm going to tell them that I was lost and undone without God and His Son. I'm going to tell them that I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving individual that was under the bondage and slavery of the devil and the world, and that I was bound to hell just as fast as I could go. And I'm going to tell them how that I came up out of bondage. Amen. I'm going to tell them what a great deliverer I had. Hallelujah. I found nobody better. Amen. I'm talking about one that can deliver from any kind of bondage. Good old Baptist Bible preaching churches don't have any two-step plans and three-step plans and 10-step plans. We don't have anything like that. We got a one-step plan. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Work for me. Work for me. I found out after I started telling my children that it worked on them. Amen. Now why did Moses make such an emphasis upon this fact that they were bondmen and enslaved? Down there under the thumb of Pharaoh, why did he make such an ado about that? Well, I tell you, I believe this. He wanted them to remember. You see, sometimes after we get saved by grace, we get high and mighty. And we get to thinking that we wasn't as bad as others. We get a little spirituality about us and we forget what a vile, wretched, dark, blinded, enslaved, spotted, filthy, dirty, rotten, low-down sinner we were. We have somebody come into our churches that are wicked and undone. We say, oh, look at them. I'll tell you what, boy, I'll tell you they're a mess, aren't they? Yeah, they're the same mess we were. Same shape we were in. He wanted them to remember where they were. How many of y'all remember where you used to be? Oh, praise God. I'm glad that every now and then God let me remember that old time altar where I knelt as a dirty, low-down sinner. I'm thankful that sometimes God let me go back and remember the joy and the peace that passeth all understanding and the love that flooded my soul when I knelt down an old-fashioned altar. I'm glad that sometimes God will remind me of that place where He brought me across my Red Sea and brought me into my promised land. I'm glad God lets me remember that. And I think He does it to remind us that when it's all said and done, that it was all of God. The Lord brought us out. Amen. I'm glad the Baptist didn't save me. Praise God. I've seen some Baptists I didn't want what they had. I'm glad I didn't get saved by the Baptist. I didn't get saved by the preacher. I didn't get saved by the religious verdicts of men. I didn't get saved by what the biggest majority of the preachers in the world are preaching. My own goodness and my own merit and my own worth. I'm glad that I can remind them that I was saved by the grace of God. I want you to remember when your children ask you about this bondage, what are you going to tell them? Amen. You know, I find it's good. We do this in my family quite often. I got three girls. Lord, I tell everybody I've got a good verse for that, a good scriptural verse for having three girls. Tribulation worketh patience. When you got all girls, you're going to be patient. I've learned patience. Amen. I've learned to stand in front of the bathroom for an hour and finally go to the woods. I've learned that. Amen. I've learned that. But, you know, I found some of the best times that I've ever had sitting around the Sunday dinner table is for me and the children start giving their testimony. Let's hear when you got saved. And Mama, you tell them when you got saved. And before long, we're not eating. We're weeping and a snotting and a crying and a praising God. And we're remembering what God's done. Oh, what a time that is. I believe he wanted this question that we're talking about, the bondage. When they ask you about that, I believe Moses kind of puts a little bit of a rebuke in here for that. Because there's room for rebuke, because if you start forgetting, and if you don't remember, and if you do not remind yourself for what God's done, it won't be long you'll be drifted away from Him. And you'll have to be rebuked again, and rebuked again, rebuked again. So what am I going to tell my children? And what are you going to tell your children when they ask you about your bondage? Are you going to hide that you were a drunk? Are you going to hide that you's a thief? Are you going to hide that you're a Mary Magdalene out of whom seven devils were cast? Aren't you glad God put all that in there? Hallelujah. Praise God. And let me just say that Moses said, when your children rise up, start asking these questions. Here is something that you give them. Now, let me start right here. And I may not get any farther than this. This might be my stopping point. When they start asking about this blood thing. Amen. Hey. You went over here. Hey, Dad, I saw you slit that little lamb's neck. I saw you pour the blood out into a basin. I've heard how you put blood upon the doorposts and the lintels, and I've heard how you put hyssop and dipped it in that blood, and I've heard how Moses sprinkled the blood, and I heard how Moses sprinkled the tabernacle, and I heard how you sprinkled the book, and I heard how you sprinkled the people with your blood. What are you going to tell them? Oh, I'm glad I got something to tell about the blood. Amen. Thank God the blood hasn't lost its power. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad that if you're saved this morning and you're an old-time Bible believer, you have something to tell them about the blood. I'm glad that I can tell them of a blood that speaketh better things than the blood of bulls and goats. I'm thankful that I can tell them about a blood that cleanses from all sin. Now these questions are going to be raised. Now I confess I'm an old bloody preacher. If it was required this morning for us to dip our hands in blood to satisfy God, I'd have it dripping all off of my hands. That's what it required. Praise God. Now you see, here's what I believe Moses is going to tell them. Hey, boys, God required the blood. We didn't make this thing up. We didn't go to sleep one night and eat dill pickles and pickle bologna and get up and dream this up in the night. But God said this was what He required. It was God that said, without the shedding of blood, there'll be no remission of sin. God required this, son. Amen. I like those old blood songs, don't you? I heard a woman visit our church, and she said she got so hungry to hear somebody get a songbook and pick a songbook out that you could open to it and read the words. And she said it'd been a long time since you heard anybody sing on the blood. I love to sing about the blood. I'm glad there's a fountain filled with blood. Amen. And we went up into Brooklyn, New York and set up a monument for Robert Lowry. Great old Baptist songwriter. And old Robert Lowry, an old wicked sinner, so wrapped up in sin that he had a pencil and paper out and wrote on a note, "What can wash away my sin?" And he looked at it and couldn't think of anything and wadded it up and threw it in the wastebasket. And he got out of that chair and went down the road a little ways and went past a church and heard somebody singing "Nothing But the Blood." Robert Lowry went back and got that piece of paper out of the wastebasket and at the end of that question, "What can wash away my sin?" he put "Nothing But the Blood" and wound up getting saved. And he wrote good old songs that we sing today, "Christ Arose," "Shall We Gather at the River," the songs like that. But it all started with the blood. The blood was God's requirement. Now let me just say this about the blood. The blood was the only thing that could redeem. Wasn't nothing else. If there had been any other way, or if there had been any other sacrifice, then redemption should have come by the law. If there had been a law that should have saved, then redemption should have been by the law. If there had been any kind of a good animal that had virtue about it, that could have shed its blood. I'm talking about even the red heifer. If there had been any kind of an animal that its blood was perfect enough to wash away sins, then Christ died in vain. But there was no other way. No other way. It's the blood that redeems. Only thing. The only thing. Blood is for our peace. We have peace through the blood. Blood is for our purchase. Amen. He bought us with his own blood. Praise God. The blood is for our pardoning, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I want to tell you, it's the blood is what reveals God's plan. God required it, God redeems us by it, and God reveals his eternal plan through the blood. You know who Jesus was? He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He was dead when he got here, in essence. In essence, he was dead the day he was born. He was destined to die. Amen. Where are you going to tell your children about the blood? You going to apologize for it? You going to make little of it? I'm going to make a big ado about it. Amen. I am. Praise God. I'm going to preach it. What are you going to tell him about the book? Moses, Lord gave him the law. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I believe all y'all are Bible believers. But you know, Joshua, when he took over, God said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and night." The book was important. It's still important. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that starts apologizing for the book. He may as well quit preaching. He has nothing to preach when he apologizes for the book. You understand? We believe that this is our instruction manual. That's the reason he said, when your children come and ask you what's the purpose for all these testimonies and statutes and laws and precepts, you tell them that this is the book that God requires you to live by. It's our instruction manual. Amen. I'm glad that it's our inspired book. I'm glad that it's an infallible book. Let me read this so that this will be emphasized to you, and I'll quit on this one. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 45, or chapter 21, rather, in verse 45. And let's read verse number 45 of chapter 21. Here's what Joshua said. "There failed not aught Now, when I was growing up in school, that was a that's the way they pronounce things. Ought. Look, L-double-ought-K. I'm glad he said there's not anything. There's not aught of any good thing that the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel all come to pass. Look at chapter 23. This was so important, he repeated it twice. Verse number 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed. I found that still true. Not one single thing that I've ever preached from the Bible has ever come to naught. It's not failed. It's an infallible book. It's an indestructible book. Moses threw him down, but God had him still up in his mind. Moses broke him. Man breaks him, but God still stands. I'll tell you one thing. Men have been trying to destroy this old Bible. I get upset at these Bible perverters. I get upset at them. But I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over it, because I still believe mine's a good one. I still believe I've got the book. Amen. I'm not going to spend all my time walking the floor because somebody wanted to leave Calvary out of their Bible. I'm glad mine still got Calvary in it. I'm not going to spend all my time awake because somebody leaves blood out of it. Mine still has every passage in it. It's an indestructible book. Now, let me close with this. I'll try to hurry on this, and I may not be able to. When they start asking you about your blessings, what are you going to tell them? They're going to start asking you, how did you get through all that wilderness for 40 years? How'd you get across the Red Sea without boats and ships? How'd you get across Jordan when it flowed out of its banks in the season of the rain? I believe it goes something like this. Now you forgive me if I'm exaggerating. I don't much believe I could exaggerate this. I may not even get half of it done. When they ask you about the blessings of food, what are you going to tell them? I'm gonna tell him. I believe Moses said, here's what you can tell him. God fed us. God put food on our table. God let us eat angel food cake. God rained down manna from heaven upon us. In fact, God sent some quail to us. In fact, let me tell you something. God, I smote. Now, this is what the book of Psalms said, that Moses smote the rock, and it said, and I hear people said, a little stream came out. That wasn't what it said. It said rivers came out of the rock. When they start asking you how the journey was, what are you going to tell them? Well, I'm going to tell them that I looked up of a night and saw a fire burning. And then I got up a morning there, the fire went down, the cloud came up. And every time the cloud moved, we were led to move. In fact, I was led by the direct hand of God. I believe they could have said, when they get to the promised land, how'd you get here? I believe they could have said this: Jesus led me all the way. What a blessing. When they ask you about your battles, what are you going to say? Well, we didn't lose any. The only battle we ever lost was when sin was in the camp. Why, we've gone out to battle and hornets chased them. Why, I remember one time we went out to battle and God started throwing hailstones down at them. I remember one time we had a battle, and all there was 300 of us. And we had some pitchers and a sword. We got up and broke the pitchers and shouted, "The sword of the Lord," and "Get in." Yes. Amen. Yes. And the enemy turned against themselves and started killing each other. Right. What are you saying? Well, I'm just saying the Lord fought our battles for us. Oh, that's a blessing, isn't it? What are you going to tell them about your health? Amen. David said that their feet didn't even swell. Or Nehemiah rather said their feet didn't swell. In the book of Psalms 105, it says there was not one feeble one among them. Not one. And then on top of that, their shoes didn't wear out. I find even Johnson & Murphy's does that. I found out Florsheim's wear out. But they traveled 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Didn't wax old. They didn't even get any older. And it said their garments waxed not old. Didn't have any wear and tear on their garments. And I get through preaching today, and my old coat will be sweating, and I'll be stinking. And I'll have to run down to the cleaners just to get it redone. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But their clothes did not change. What a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, we need to have something to tell our children. Let me close with this, if you don't mind. Psalms chapter 78, this is familiar with you, and I'll close with this verse. Psalm 78, verse number 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. I like that, don't you? Looks like somebody else's children got to asking questions, which our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. I tell you, when my children start asking questions, I'm just going to try as quick as I can to tell them about the Lord. Amen. Amen. My old dad, I remember my old dad used to take us down to hear preachers. He took us to hear B.R. Lakin preach. He took us to hear G.B. Vick preach. He didn't go with us, but he sent us to hear Bob Jones Sr. preach. And Dad wanted us to hear great preachers. And he said, "Boys, I want you to hear great preachers because they'll tell you what great things the Lord has done." I believe any good preacher can tell you some good things that God's done. Amen. And he said, "Don't hide them now. Don't hide them from your children. Speak of them often. Write them down. Think of them when you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, start talking about them. Put a few frontlets around your eyes and write them upon the doorpost. And everywhere you turn, there'll be a reminder to your children of what God has done." Amen. Amen. Father, bless the word of God this morning, we pray. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to ask Brother Josh and Caleb to come if they would, and they're going to get some songs ready here. And I want you to stand up just a moment.